This is Between the Lines, WMUK's weekly look at books and writers. I'm Zinta Astars. Among Michigan mystery readers, you'll find many fans of the Ray Elkins mystery series. Author Aaron Stander's most recent mystery, Murder in the Merlot, explores corruption in the world of Michigan wine. Stander talks about how the Ray Elkins series began.
I started writing this series about 20 years ago, but I didn't publish the first one until maybe 14 years ago. And it was about my experiences up here in northern Michigan. In the early years, I was living in Metro Detroit. But this area of Michigan, Leelanau, Grand Traverse, Benzie, has been a big part of my life from the time I was a teenager. And I needed a protagonist, so I came up with a local sheriff. And so the series has been about this local sheriff, mostly in Leelanau County, but I combine all of the locales to have a wider palette, and the various things that he confronts. Part of it has to do with place. The lakes up here, as you know, are just so amazing. So place is always a character, but it's also the differences in people and economics that play an important part in the sociology of this whole region. So that's what it's been about from the beginning. The local people, the people who come and visit, people with great affluence, people who are relatively poor, and how this all mixes together in a social drama of sorts.
So now let's focus a little bit more on this eighth book, the brand new one, Murder in the Merlot. And maybe you can tell us about how that idea came about. And I'm wondering, how many glasses of wine does one drink for research as writing?
Well, I have this awful confession to make.
Oh, good.
I used to really love to drink wine, but it somehow doesn't agree with me anymore. So, yes, it's a tragic story. I spent a lot of time going to the various wineries. I think at last count we have 36 or 38 or maybe 40. It's such an important part of the local economy in Leelanau, and it's expanding to other places in the region. And I've gotten to know some of the wine producers over the years, and the person I spent the most time with is Larry Mauby, who was one of the first people who started growing grapes and started making wine. He then moved on to making sparkling wine or champagne, but he's sort of the grandfather of the industry, or one of them anyway. And I got a sense of what he does, and he was very kind in terms of, you know, we started in the vineyard and moved from there to the crusher and all of the various aspects of winemaking. So that gave me a good background of how we do it locally, but I also got interested in what was going on internationally. And the wine industry, much like the book industry, is really controlled by four or five international corporations. I'm not talking about our local wine industry, but the worldwide wine industry is controlled by these major companies that make wine. They also own the distilleries, they own the breweries. I mean, they are these large multinational companies. And so the idea I was playing with was, what would happen if one of those international companies would come into a local area? What would they do to our industry? And what would the tensions be? You know, and there's an old joke up here, if you haven't lived here for three or four generations, you're never going to be really part of the community. So there's all this suspicion of new people coming in. But then there's also a fear of major corporations and, you know, the dominance of big financial forces. So that's what I was trying to work into the book.
This is Between the Lines on WMUK. I'm Zinta Astars. Speaking with Aaron Stander about his mystery series, I discover something unexpected about his family history. We share a heritage in the Baltic country of Latvia.
My family mostly came at the turn of the last century. Mm. And anyone who stayed in Latvia was murdered by Hitler.
And where did your family come from?
Riga.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Oh, my gosh. Okay, now tell me about that. Now I'm really intrigued.
Well, We don't know anything about the people who stayed in Riga because early in the war, when the Nazis took over, they were all marched outside of the city and murdered.
What's your ethnic background, Aaron?
Well, I can tell you my father's side were Jews. You know, there was a big diaspora where the Jews of Spain and other parts of southern Europe ran north to Poland because there was less persecution there.
Yeah.
And then they were pushed into Latvia. And then my grandmother and my great aunts told me about the pogroms and how afraid they were of the Russians.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why they started to leave Latvia around the time of World War I.
I see. I had no idea that was in your background. What an interesting discovery. Have you ever traveled over there?
No, my brother has. And before I left college teaching, I had a young woman who was Latvian, who was Jewish. And she was telling me about her grandmother. And I said, well, how did your grandmother survive? And she said, my grandmother was a sharpshooter for the Russian army.
Wow.
How's that for a story?
Oh, you've got to get that into a book somehow. I don't know if that fits in with Ray Elkins, but oh my goodness, that's fascinating.
Incredible story.
So as we wind this up, do you have a publication date yet for number 9?
I went out to my editor yesterday morning, and she's going to have it for several weeks. And then it sort of depends on what she says.
How much time do you usually take between books? Is it like one a year or?
Well, it was one a year for a while. And then I ran into, you know, some personal health issues and I slowed down a lot. And I'm also slowing down a lot in my own writing. I can just see that. I just spend so much time at the sentence level and I'm not moving as quickly as I used to, but as soon as I finish a project, I'm on to another project.
Yeah, no breaks between, eh?
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe I should take a month off to build a kayak, but...
Really? You build boats?
I think I've built 9 boats now in the last 10 or 12 years.
Oh, wow. What kind?
They're Greenland-style kayaks.
They're all kayaks.
They're all kayaks, yeah. They're all small, thin boats that roll well and they're very much like the Inuits built years ago.
Is that part of the attraction for you, that they have this history?
Absolutely. These people had limited resources and what they were able to achieve, it's about as different from our culture as anything can be.
I'm Zinta Astars. You've been listening to WMUK's Between the Lines, our weekly look at books and writers. I've been speaking with Aaron Stander. Visit WMUK.org to hear more of our interview. And join us every Tuesday at this time for Between the Lines. Thanks for listening.